In my life, I try to deal with chaos one bite at a time. But chaos isn't playing a game. It's playing for keeps. Coming up next on The Right Stuff. Stay tuned. Showcasing Christian authors from all over the world. England, Canada, India, Thailand, UK, USA. It's Tuesday night, and this is The Right Stuff. With your host, the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J. Cole. To this edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the queen of Tuesday nights, Parker J. Thank you so much for joining me. I cannot wait to delve into tonight's book and show as we talk with my returning guest, Alan Arnold. I met him several years ago at the Southern California Christian Writers Conference, and ever since then, I've been blessed by his insights into creativity, into co-creation with God, and what it means to be blessed by the honor to co-create with our Savior. And those are actually three different things, even though you heard me say co-create twice, because they're being applied in so many different ways. And I can't think of how timely this message is. The name of his book is Chaos Can't Overcome What Comes Against You in This Shaken World. And many people right now are feeling shaken, whether believe that the election was the for all and be all of our existence, whether or not they're dealing with personal crisis in their life, whether or not they're dealing with things that are happening externally outside of their family circle. Everyone in some way is beset by chaos. But what this book is going to show you is that chaos can't, and there's so many things that chaos cannot do. As you read this book, you're going to discover. Because chaos can't ultimately win, but with God, you can. As always, I want to thank our corporate sponsor, Christian Book Club, for their support of Right Stuff. If you want to know how you can build your readership, simply go to ChristianBookClub.net, click on the links there, and they can tell you how they can help you as an author with your readership building. We also want to thank our partner, Radio App. Radio App is the app solely dedicated to uploading books that are dedicated to the Most High God. I've been announcing this for the past several weeks, but Radio has decided to partner with Christian Convict Book Club to provide incarcerated men and women in the USA with nonfiction Christian books. Author and founder of the CCBC, Adam Sharp, stated that reading books as he serves time has undoubtedly changed his life. There are numerous testimonies of prisoners who develop relationships with the Most High God after reading life-altering books. So this is an invitation to those of you who are nonfiction writers who have Christian books to go ahead and go to radioapp.com to find out how you can get your book in the Christian Convict Book Club, and you can bring freedom to our incarcerated men and women in the USA. Simply go to radioapp.com/ccbc_author.html, or simply go to radioapp.com and you can click through the links as well. Find out how you can upload your books to the app, as well as how you can join in this wonderful venture with the CCBC. As always, if you want to join in the conversation, you certainly can. All you got to do is call in at 646-668-8485, then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, #WriteStuff, with your questions and comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Christian authors and writers, welcome to Radio. Radio App, developed exclusively for showcasing Christian fiction and nonfiction ebooks and audiobooks. Tired of book sales plummeting due to algorithm-influenced unrelated classifications? Books lost amongst non-Christian content? Readio allows you to reach your target audience, who's eager to devour your Most High God-inspired books in a variety of Christian subgenres. You write in a niche market. Readio solely caters to it. Follow at Readio App today on social media or visit readioapp.com to know when we are accepting author catalog uploads. Readio, the best app for the Most High influence ebooks and audiobooks.
Hi, my name is Kevin Newsom, and I am the host of the Christian Arts and Entertainment Podcast. I am an author, musician, and worship pastor. On my podcast, we talk art and entertainment in all its forms: music, writing, movies, art, and more. Join us each week as we wrestle with two questions. What is a Christian artist's responsibility when creating art? And what is a Christian consumer's responsibility when consuming art? You'll find the Christian Arts and Entertainment Podcast on your favorite podcast platform and in full video on YouTube. Go to www.pressepic.com for more information. Be sure to subscribe on YouTube and in your podcast app, and I'll see you soon.
Question: if you write a book, everybody will rush out to buy it. Obvious answer: no. If you were a celebrity or if you had a huge marketing budget, then maybe you can get a lot of exposure for your book. Another solution would be to check out JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com is a promotion and marketing service with access to over 1/3 of a million followers on Twitter. JoeyTweets.com has 3 packages available to fit any budget. That's JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com. Get some serious exposure for your books.
We're back with the Queen of Tuesday Night and her guest. Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. So very glad you are here with me today. We are talking to my guest, co-host, and contributor, Alan Arnold. He is the author of the book, Chaos Can't Overcome What Comes Against You in This Shaken World. I can't wait to delve into this book with you. But if you want to go ahead and get your copy, it's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. Alan Arnold is also the author of the book, The Story of With, also available on Amazon.com. I wasn't being facetious or making light of what I say that being around Alan at the Southern California Christian Writers Conference a couple of years ago really changed my perspective about being a creative. A lot of people think creatives are artistic creatives, but as you read this book and as you read the story with, you begin to understand that creativity is something that all of us have. We are all co-creators with God, but there are some caveats to that statement that I know you're going to find out as you pick up your copy of Chaos Can't Overcome What Comes Against You in This Shaken World, again, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. The book is a very easy read. Each chapter is no more than 3 pages long, I think. But as you read the book, you start to see this wonderful narrative blossom and bloom as you begin to understand what is and what chaos isn't. You begin to understand that you can overcome chaos with God. You cannot overcome chaos by yourself. This is extremely important as we live in chaotic times. What's interesting is when Alan reached out to me, I was thinking about this very topic about chaos. And he said, "Hey, Parker, I've got a new book out. Can we have you on the show?" Of course, I said yes. So now we're here. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce Alan Arnold to you today. Alan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really well, Parker. And man, I enjoyed our conversation last time so much. I'm really looking forward to where God will lead us in this one.
I enjoyed our conversation too, particularly when you pointed out, and you also pointed out here in Chaos Can't Overcome What Comes Against You in This Shaken World, that God introduced himself to us as creator. And one of the things you said on that show that I have never forgotten, and I've repeated it on this show ever since then, is that God could have introduced himself to us in many different ways, and he does. But when we first meet him in the Bible, he presents to us as creator. And that is highly significant. And there's a reason why he does that. And you also go into that in the book Chaos. And so I'm so excited to just delve into this with you. And for our listeners out there, if you want to weigh in on our conversation, you're more than welcome to. All you have to do is call in at 646-668-8485, press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag RightStuff. So, Alan, it's been a couple of years since you've been on the show, and people may not know who you are, and the Lord has blessed us to where we've also increased our distributorship India now. And so we want to welcome our Indian listeners who are listening in on the podcast. Thank you so much for joining in our conversation. So go ahead and introduce yourself to our listeners today.
Sure. Well, first of all, I'm excited to be talking about creativity and God, because I think that's really at the heart of so much of what God invites us to do, is learn how to come alongside him as sons and daughters, co-creating with him in the areas of our dreams and our hopes and our gifting. And that's what I spend a lot of my time doing, Parker. I am a coach to writers. I am a speaker to creatives of all kinds. And so my whole goal in that is really helping people understand how to pursue their dreams and creativity with God. And then also I have a full-time role at Wild at Heart, which is a ministry that John Eldridge started, and he's the author of the book Wild at Heart. It's a book for men about how to pursue who they are as a man with God. And I've been with this ministry now for about 8 years. Prior to that, I was a fiction publisher at one of the world's largest publishing houses and published about 500 novels with really incredible men and women storytellers. So that's a little bit of who I am as far as where I spend my hours each day. And I've got 3 kids, a beautiful wife, and my favorite thing to do is just talk about big ideas and how to pursue them with God.
And creativity is a big idea. One of the things I have been doing a lot lately, Alan, I've been looking at what's going on in the space race. I've been following lots of things going on with it because it's very exciting just to see us starting to probe the depths of space. There's talk about going to Mars and the moon, and you have a billionaire like Elon Musk who has lots of money and lots of connections with governments to make it happen, commercialization of space. And it's very exciting. Don't misunderstand me. How much more exciting is to delve the limitless creative power that God gives us when we co-create with him? And that was something this book really helps to bring out. So here we are, we're probing space. They want to have colonies on, you know, Mars and the moon. It's hysterical, Alan, because it's like, this is science fiction, but it's turned to science reality. Very exciting stuff is happening. But here we are co-creating with the Lord. And in the midst of that co-creation, we are attacked by chaos. So before I get into some of the deeper concepts in this book, I want to know what made you say, this is the moment to write this book. This is the time to write this book. How did the genesis of this book come about?
Well, the genesis, and I love the word genesis in your question, the genesis of it came about because I realized I was becoming more chaotic, and I started to look at what that chaos was doing to me, and the effect of the chaos was I was no longer pursuing the things that I most love to do. I was not as kind to my wife or kids because I was getting more spun up with the world events, and I was feeling my heart tank in the process. And so, Parker, I realized, wow, the impact of chaos on me isn't just generic. It isn't just something random, but chaos was coming against me in some really personal ways, and in ways meant to take me out as a son of God, as a creative, and as a man who wanted to live really well with his friends and family. And so what I started to pursue was, what's going on here really? Like, yes, the world is becoming more chaotic, but there seems to be an aspect of chaos that is aimed at each of us individually in unique ways that are meant to take us out. So that started my search, if you will, kind of a hero's journey, meaning I wanted to step into the unknown, and I wanted God to be my sage along the way, and I wanted to find out not just what is chaos, meaning me feeling chaotic, but what is chaos? Where is it coming from? And why is it coming against us in personal ways? So that's what started the journey. And as I began it, man, I heard from so many people saying, I feel the same way. Like, chaos, as my life becomes more chaotic, the things that are being stolen are the things that I feel like bring me my most joy and that have my purpose in them and my identity. And those are the things chaos is moving against in my life. And it looks different for each person. So I wanted to find out, what is the personal nature of chaos? What's going on? That's what began the journey.
Interestingly enough, you made a very good point that chaos has personal intentions. And this is extremely significant. For those of you who know where I stand, you know, I believe that we were created intentionally with purpose and for community with the Lord. And I recently saw a picture, Alan, of the 3D model of a cell, of the inside of a cell. And it was a beautiful picture, Alan. If you saw the picture, it was beautiful. You see this beautiful reproduction of the inside of a cell. And you know what I saw on the inside of a human cell? I saw a city. Like, if you were to look at it from a big picture, you saw a city.
Yeah.
And you're thinking to yourself, there is no way possible this is random process. There's just no way. And it was interesting because there are comments on the picture saying, can you believe blind random processes and time created this cell? And I'm sitting there like, you have got to be kidding me. We cannot be looking at the same thing, coming to different conclusions. But that is
right.
One of the tricks of chaos, is to steal away the creative part of what the Lord gives us, and in return gives us absolutely nothing. And there's often this theory about order out of chaos. But one thing that you show the difference in this book is that order and control are two different things. And if I'm saying that wrong, Alan, it's just because I just finished nearly reading books. I may have so many of the ideas are going in my head right now. So go ahead and expand on why it's significant to understand that order and control are two different things.
Right. Well, so let me start with a definition, I would say, of chaos that I couldn't find in the dictionary, and then I'll go into how that plays into order and control. So if you're listening and you're wondering what I mean by chaos, like, the dictionary just describes chaos as a state of utter confusion or disorder. And Parker, like I say in my book, like, that would describe me all through high school math. And so I was in class and I never understood what was going on, but I wasn't chaotic. And so I felt like this definition of chaos wasn't enough. It was too surface. And so a definition of chaos I would use for everything we're talking about is that chaos is a destructive, fear-based force that prevents us from fully living. The ways it comes against us, large and small, are often intensely personal strikes meant to leave us empty. And so that's the working definition I have of chaos now. That's how I identify chaos. And chaos always moves against order. Chaos brings disorder. And so when I say order and disorder, think of it this way. Order isn't like, it's not, you know, how you'll see somebody's desk and everything is totally perfect and squared away and everything is neatly arranged. And so we'd go, wow, that desk is really well ordered. That's not what we mean by order here. Order in the universe is how God meant it to be. And so when we talk about order, order in the sense of what is true about our world because of how God as the creator made it to be. And when everything is in its trueness, there's an order. Order doesn't mean neatness, it means trueness. And disorder is what happens when chaos moves against creation or the creator. And so if you want to look at it this way, you know, we mentioned Genesis a little bit earlier, and the first sign we see of chaos is in Genesis 1-2 in terms of the chronological reading of the Bible. If you start in Genesis 1-1, in the beginning, God created. In other words, God is creator. That's the very first way he makes himself known. The second verse before creation begins, we see the Spirit hovering over the murky darkness, the inky blackness. And Hebrew scholars say whatever else is going on there, God's Spirit is moving against chaos before creation begins. He is bringing beauty, life, and order, to use the word order again, from the disorder and emptiness and the void of chaos. And it's the very first thing we see God do in all of Scripture. The very first thing we see him do, like it's an action movie. The very first action scene with the hero of the movie is important. And Scripture tells us the very first thing God does in Genesis, they say first we learn he's a creator. And then how is he creating? He's going into chaos and he's bringing order and beauty and life through creation. So that's the difference of, to me, order and disorder. Order is what God brings in the trueness of how he creates. So you and I created in a true way. There's an order to how we think, to who we are, to how God has designed us. There's an order to the ocean and how it was created, to the mountains, to an elephant, to a stallion, to a wildflower. There's a trueness to that, and I would say that trueness is the way God has ordered the universe, the way he has meant for it to be when he meant a stallion and an ocean and us. When he means that trueness and then he breathes it into life, there's an order to it. And chaos always moves against that and always tries to bring disorder. And you know, part of the book goes into, okay, well, why is that? And we can get to that a little later, but that's the distinction.
It's an important distinction as well, particularly how you said that order is not neatness, it's trueness. And the Bible says, you know, God does things in decent and in order. And that means in truth. And that's very important as you begin to understand what chaos is. And another element about chaos that you pointed out in the book, you pointed out that chaos works actively creativity. And in Genesis 1-2, and we know there are 1,000 different opinions about what happened here. But I really like how you illustrate it in Chaos Can't Overcome What Comes Against You in the Shaken World. You show the chaos, but then you show God overshadowing the chaos. And I thought that was brilliant as I was reading it, because it lets you know that chaos has limitations. Some of those limitations are things that we do not recognize because it seems as if it is a big monster. I mean, here, like you mentioned in your book, Genesis 1-2, it's right there. You know, in the beginning, God created heavens and the earth. And then next thing you know, you go, oh, there's something here. You know, there's something happening here, you know. So tell us a little bit about how chaos is very deceptive to us as creatives.
Yeah, chaos wants to take away our creativity. And so, Parker, you know, like listeners may be going, well, wait, what? How can chaos, I thought chaos was just the state that I was in, like the world, or that I was chaotic. So how can chaos move against my creativity? And I think what you're going to find fascinating if you're hearing this for the first time is it goes back to, where did chaos come from. And while none of us were there at creation, and while none of us were there in Eden with Adam and Eve, and while none of us were, you know, before time began, able to watch it exactly, we can piece some things together through Scripture that I think for some really good insights. And so we go back to that verse in Genesis 1:2. Well, yep, there was chaos there, which means there was chaos before the fall of man. In other words, when Adam and Eve gave way to the temptation and ate of the fruit, they did usher in, Scripture says, death for the world and judgment. But the serpent that offered them the temptation, the enemy, was already chaotic when he had chaos within him when he came into the garden. And so chaos already existed there. Chaos didn't happen after the fall. It was already in existence, I believe. And we go back to Genesis 1:2, and it was there before the days of creation. So then where did chaos come from? And in the book, I take readers back to there actually was a war in heaven that Scripture talks about. And it's fascinating reading, and it happened before creation with the created angelic beings. And Lucifer, who became Satan, was one, Scripture says, of the most creative, beautiful beings as an angelic being. And there was no evil or sin in him when he was created. God didn't create a fallen being. He created in trueness. But that being, Lucifer, it says in Scripture, allowed evil to come into his heart. He allowed rebellion to come into his heart, and through that, turned against his creator. Creation turns against the creator. And we see this talked about in Revelation, but we also can find some of the passages in Ezekiel and Isaiah that talk about this. And what's really fascinating is, I believe, chaos first came into being in those moments before our world was even created by the choices of an angelic being, Lucifer, who chose to let envy and pride in his heart. And he wanted to become God. He wanted to overtake God. And that led to chaos in heaven. I mean, we think about heaven as a peaceful place, but there was a war or rebellion in heaven, and one third of the angelic beings, Lucifer was able to talk into siding with him rather than God, which blows me away, because who would choose a created being over the creator? I asked that question, but one third of the angels, we're told in Scripture, did. Chaos breaks out in heaven, a war breaks out in heaven. Angelic group is thrown out, cast out of heaven. And ever since then, I believe the enemy, his favorite weapon against us has been chaos. And the enemy was able to talk a third of the angels into siding with him over their creator. He was able to talk Adam and Eve in the garden when he appeared as a serpent to choose him and his words and his promise over God, their creator. And today he moves against us in the same way. He's a being who uses chaos to steal, kill, and destroy. And I think that's his primary weapon. Now, so when we talk about chaos coming against us, well, we have to realize it's a weapon, if you want to call it, that's being used against us by the enemy to turn us from the Creator. And it's always moved against the Creator, creation, and us and our God-given creativity. And so now when we start to look at what's going on in our world and what's going on in our lives and what is chaos trying to steal, kill, and destroy from us, we do so, I think, in a way, interpretation changes everything. And when we do so with this interpretation, we start to realize, oh, it's not just a crazy day. it's not just a random thing that's happened. Actually, the enemy is using chaos against us to turn us from the Creator, to try to destroy that God has given us. And we can go into why that is a little later if you want to. But the first step is just awareness, is to go, now I understand what's coming against me. And before I can find a cure for it, I have to understand the cause of it. And the cause of chaos is very personal. It's directed against you. We have an enemy, and that enemy's purpose is to isolate us from God, to separate us from intimacy with God. And I believe he hates our God-given creativity because, for one reason, it leads to greater intimacy with God. For another reason, I believe it's because he lost his creativity cast out of heaven. And so, boy, there's a lot we could say there, more than I just said in a few minutes. But that is in the book, and it goes into scripture, and it goes into passages that talk about all of this in more depth. But when we start to have that interpretation, we can go, okay, now I know what's coming against me. That's the first step in overcoming chaos.
And that awareness is an arsenal in your weaponry in the spiritual battle, particularly when you come from the understanding that we are co-creators. Now, God gave us his communicable attribute of creativity. And earlier in the broadcast, I believe in the introduction, I said how you had really opened my eyes into understanding that creatives are not simply based in art, but that every one of us are co-creators with the Father when we become his sons and daughters. And this is extremely important because you begin to understand that creativity is not limited. And the Lord shows us this because he created so many different things. And when we come back from our break, we're going to go into depth of what some of those things are so that you begin to understand this expanded definition of what it means to be a creative, what it means to be a creator, and what it means to co-create with God. You're welcome to call in and join in the conversation by calling in at 646-668-8485, then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag right stuff with your questions or comments. We'll be right back after these messages.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
God gives humans the gift of making amazing stories to glorify him. At SpeculativeFaith.com, our ministry is to help fans explore fantasy, science fiction, supernatural stories, and beyond from an intentional and biblical Christian perspective. We share daily articles and have extensive archives tackling hot topics like end times beliefs, the art of writing, creative excellence in the Christian subcultures, discernment, sex, magic, Harry Potter, and space aliens and the Bible. If you are a parent or anyone else with a discriminating palate, our reviewers explore fantastical novels, movies, television, and games in light of God's beauty, goodness, and truth. Want to find Christian stories? The Spec Faith Library lists every fantastical novel we can find from a Christian author. It's all part of our mission to discern, engage, and enjoy fantastical human creativity in honor of our Creator, Jesus Christ. SpeculativeFaith.com, exploring fantastical stories for God's glory.
As an author, you understand the devastation of someone plagiarizing your work, but what if someone stole your identity? Protect yourself and your family with Identity Theft Protection. Services include credit monitoring, credit reports and scores from all three credit bureaus, social security number, emails, credit cards, bank account monitoring, and social media monitoring from Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. For more information, call 248-525-7680.
We're back with the Queen of Tuesday Night and her guest.
Hi, and welcome back to our show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, so glad you are joining me for this edition of the show. We are showcasing Alan Arnold's Chaos Can't Overcome What Comes Against
you in this shaken world. It's hot off the press, so make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy today on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. Alan's ministry really is geared toward creatives, but once you understand what the expanded definition of creativity and what being creative is, you come to really appreciate just the impact of what this book has to offer. Right now, we are living in a chaotic world, and chaos seeks to destroy creativity because creativity brings intimacy. How many of you can remember when you did a group project in your class, or maybe you were with your family and you created some type of mural, or you had a potluck and every individual dishes to the potluck and had a great time? Maybe you were doing a sporting event and all of you guys worked together, you trained hard, and when you trained hard, you were able to win that championship, that leg, whatever it was. But what you were doing was creating. Now, isn't it interesting that despite the pandemic that's going on, there are still people working to create things? But the pandemic is very interesting. And utilizing this book, it really helps you to understand how chaos can stop creativity. Like in some way, the pandemic has stopped creativity for some, but throughout that pandemic and the chaotic thing, we are still able to create because chaos cannot overcome you. But with God, you can overcome chaos. And that is a message that is so vital for the state of our world and today. Like the title of the book says, overcome what comes against you in this shaken world. And no one likes to be shaken for very long. What tends to happen when we're shaken? We get sick. I was thinking of the ride on a roller coaster, or rather an amusement park that spins you around and around and around and around really, really fast, and you're stuck to the wall. And then you get the ride and you get sick or the world stops spinning. We don't like it when our world spins. And so I'm using that example to show you what chaos is doing. It's spinning you around, but you have to know that chaos cannot overcome you. And with God, you win. But there's so much more to this book, so make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy today. And Alan, once again, thank you so much for being with me on the show as we continue to just delve into the many nuggets of wisdom that's embedded into these pages. And I want to go into the expanded definition of what it means to be a creative. So what I want to do is read a quick excerpt from the chapter that says, "Everything That's Anything." And you write here, "God is the uncreated creator. He has always existed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is no time when God wasn't. He precedes everything, including time. Let's take a moment and savor a few of the things he created from nothing. Heaven, photons, water, jalapenos, cheetahs, hummingbirds, curiosity, music, adventure, love, worship, sleep, faith, humor, fireflies, gravity." There's more on the list in this book, so I encourage you to pick up a copy of Chaos Can't Overcome What Comes Against You in This Shaken World so you can see the entire list. As you were listening to some of the things I mentioned on this list, did you begin to understand why the definition of creative is very much more expanded? And Alan, go ahead and tell us why using this list shows you that being a creative is not just simply an art form.
Correct. Being creative is really just being who God made us to be. We are creative. And a lot of people, Parker, that I would say, hear that and say, "Well, I'm not creative." What they need to realize is that thought is reflecting what's been stolen. In other words, you are creative, but as long as the enemy can cause you to think you aren't creative, then you're never going to step into your gifting or your talent or those dreams. And so the first part of realizing your creativity is real is just accepting, okay, if I'm the son or daughter of God and he is a creator, I have creativity in my DNA. How could I not? And so when we look at all the things on this list, I wrote those in the book to help people just break through this thought of only seeing creative as something that these elite artists with some kind of degree or award from some organization can say, yes, I'm creative because of this. And to go, actually, we're all creative. And our creativity plays out in really different ways. And I have a definition in the book that I put here because I think it's super helpful in redefining what creativity is. And Parker, I define it this way. God-infused creativity is using our presence, who we are, and our gifting, what we do, to bring something new into existence in a way that changes people and the atmosphere for good. So I'll read that again. God-infused creativity is using our presence and our gifting to bring something new into existence in a way that changes people and the atmosphere for good. So under that definition, are you creative if you're a stay-at-home mom or dad? Absolutely. Are you changing the environment for good for your kids in that setting? Yes. Are you creative if you're a barista or if you are an architect or a coach? Absolutely. All of those things that you know, it doesn't result in a painting on the wall or maybe a book that's a novel, you're absolutely creative. And one of the things I say in the book is the sons and daughters of God are artisans. We have the imagination of the Creator flowing in and through us. Our time in God's presence reshapes us, which in turn allows our creativity to reshape chaos. A teacher's creativity brings understanding to complex topics. The way she teaches or shapes her students is the art. An architect is an expert at seeing a structure before it exists. The art is in making the structure a reality, one brick or column at a time. A chef understands how various foods and flavors come together. His art is the edible presentation on the plate. A coach is skilled at the knowledge of a particular sport. That is her gift. Her art is played out on the court based on how she shapes her team. Creativity is what we do. It's our what. Art is what we make. It's our how. So that's an important distinction. And the main thing that gets in the way of us stepping into our glory in these areas is our doubt. We doubt that we are creative, and the doubt comes from, I think, initially the attacks against our creativity from childhood, which the enemy has been at from the time we were born, trying to tell us we aren't what we really are.
I think that is an important aspect of this conversation, is to know that if you are a daughter and Son of the Most High, then creativity runs in you. And I would hesitate to say, Alan, and please correct me if I'm wrong, even if you aren't, you still have creativeness inside of you because God wants us to be in union with Him. That's why you can have people who aren't saved creating beautiful things. It's limited because they're not co-creating with God, but they create beautiful things. And am I saying that right, Alan? I want to make sure I'm saying it right, or if I'm saying it wrong, go ahead and please correct me where I'm wrong.
I think you're absolutely right. We can look at all kinds of art in culture today, from songwriters, movies, Netflix, series that we can binge watch and go, wow, there was a lot of creative ideas here. But unfortunately, if the creators, the men and women making those series or those songs, don't know God, ultimately, I would say it's largely empty or void, and meaning there's not an eternal spark. But that said, God can put an eternal spark in things that the creator, the man or woman creating it, don't even realize, because they're seeing things in this world of beauty and of life and they're weaving that into their creativity, and they don't yet know the creator, but they know those things that they see are good. And so we can find goodness, and we can find some pretty incredible insights in creativity from people that don't know God, but only because they are seeing these truths in the world around them, and they're trying to incorporate them. But the problem is they don't know the creator. And so ultimately, you know, I would say a lot of that art falls flat in terms of not having an eternal spark. And yet in scripture, we see all the time where God worked through kings that did not know him. And yet God still worked through kings, and he shaped their decisions, and he shaped their decrees. And I think he does the same with people who are in the creative process. And a lot of times people come to know God through their passions and their gifting. And they, the more they pursue their art, the more they find the true giver of their creativity. And so, yeah, we'll see creativity a lot of times. And those people who we see it in their films may go, no, I don't believe in God. But the art can't help but reflect the creator, because when you start trying to create things, you're already, whether you know it or not, searching for God in some way, because he is the creator of anything creative.
I wanted to underpin something you said with using an example I've recently come to understand. Many people who follow me on Facebook, I talk about my granny a lot because I love my granny. And at first, I was hesitant because I'm always updating about granny. And then a couple of people reached out to me over the course of the year and said, you know, Parker, I really appreciate you sharing things about your granny because my grandma isn't here. And one young lady said, I am living vicariously through you with your granny because mine isn't here. And then another young lady just recently, she said, you know, I like when I get these updates from you about your granny. And you think it's something just so small, but people connect because they're reminded of their grannies. And it's such a simple thing. Hey, she's doing okay. I talked to grandma today. She fell asleep. Like today she fell asleep while talking to her on the Zoom. And I'm like, mama, wake up. And she's like, I'm up, my dear. But her eyes are like falling as she's saying I'm up, you know. And so I'm like, mama, go get some rest. But just creating connectivity, even though it's on a virtual stance, they don't see her physically, but just the connection of memory. And I was just shocked through something that simple. And that's why I think it was important for you to understand why Alan helps us to define what being a creative is. I want to go back to something else you said, and in the book, you did a wonderful job in showing just how far Lucifer had fallen, and you also said that he lost creative power, and I thought about that really hard. I would hate to not be able to write anymore. I would hate to not be able to create a poem or create a song. I would hate to be able to, you know, physical realm, not have a child, whether it's, or create a family, I should say, whether it's through my body or through foster care or through adoption. And when you said that and the way you illustrated in Chaos Can't Overcome What Comes Against You in the Shaken World, it broke me a little bit. And they brought fresh the fall of Lucifer because he had creative power. And those angels who rebelled against God with him, they had that power. So all they are doing is stirring up chaos and coming against you to stop you from doing what they can't. And when I read that in this book, I was like, oh, my goodness. That's what's been going on. I mean, you kind of know about spiritual warfare, but when you put it in this context, Alan, that here we are on the earth to create so we can have intimacy with God and communion and to build up, you have the enemy coming to destroy that. You even said in one of the titles of this book, enemy of creation. This is a highly significant part of understanding what chaos is and its origin. Go ahead and expand on that in the best way you see fit.
Yeah, well, in the book I call Satan the enemy of creation. And one of the things that goes to your point, Parker, is I say, when he tried to elevate himself above all, he revolted against everything that had been created by God. The created being Lucifer forfeited his place in heaven as he chose self over God, war over worship, hate over humility. He lost all intimacy and fellowship with the Creator. And because he lost his connection to the Creator, I believe he also lost his ability to create. How could anyone's creativity not suffer a catastrophic loss when it comes totally untethered from the Creator? So knowingly or not, he exchanged creativity for chaos. And through it now, he brings disorder, destruction, disruption, and death wherever he goes. But he cannot create out of nothing. Only God can do that. And the enemy cannot create anything eternal. Only God and those who create with him can do that. The best the enemy can do is move against who God is. He has nothing new to offer. He only tries to counter what is true and good. In other words, he is reactionary. He is predictable, and ultimately, he is empty and void. And that's what I think is going on as well in the enemy's rage. The enemy knows his time is short, we're told in Revelation. The enemy knows he chose the wrong story. The enemy knows, as a created being, he'll never overcome the Creator. And so now he wages war. And he wages war against creation. We read in Scripture, you know, about how all creation is groaning, waiting for God to set everything right. And as creatives, if he can cut us at the knees, then our creativity suffers. If our response to chaos, in other words, and think about this, Parker, think about it in your life, and if you're listening, think about it in your life. It's happened to me, what I'm about to say. When chaos comes, one of the typical reactions is, okay, well, I'll just wait it out. I'll just, whatever story I was writing, whatever I was working on that brought me life, pursuit of my dreams, it's too chaotic now. So I'll just pause and wait for the chaos to pass, wait for a less chaotic time. Most of us have had those thoughts before, and it's the very wrong thing to do. The least and last thing you want to do is that, because if the enemy can cut you at the knees and have you stop your creativity, he's actually stopping you from bringing beauty and life and order into our world, which is why, one reason why God's given us our creativity. And each of us have a unique gifting. And so the enemy has lost his ability to create, but he can move against, and he hates any creative act that we do. And I call it a lot of times a creative dance. Any creative dance we do with God, he hates, because he can't do it, and because he knows at least the intimacy between us and God, and he knows it brings light and hope and beauty to the world. And so now, see, this filter starts to come and an understanding starts to come where we realize, oh, yeah, so the very worst thing that could happen when chaos hits is for me to shut my laptop and quit writing, or to give up on that story, or to assume, you know, in times that are so chaotic, why would I spend time working on a piece of art? And that's what the enemy wants you to think, when actually that piece of art is what's going to bring light into the world. If you're using your God-given creativity and you're co-creating with God, that is part of God's response against chaos, us, you and me. Part of God's response encountering chaos, the ways he counters it, is us. He says, you're my son and daughter. I showed you in Genesis 1:2 how to move against chaos. Jesus shows us how to move against chaos in pretty much every story we read in Scripture. Is Jesus moving against chaos, whether it's the storm, healing a demoniac, with the Pharisees, whatever Jesus is doing, he's pretty much countering chaos. And so we see Jesus show us how, we show God, and we see the Holy Spirit show us how. And the reason, Parker, is because now they invite us to do the same. Now you counter chaos through who you are, your presence, and through what you do, your gifting. And when that happens, we really start to see the atmosphere around us be transformed. So it's a beautiful thing to see. And of course the enemy is going to move against that. Of course the enemy is going to try to steal that from us. But we don't have to let the enemy do that. And that's why I titled the book, Chaos Can't. It can't win. It can't overcome God. God has the first word, and he has the last word. And chaos and the enemy ultimately are not going to be around. You know, we all believe and put our hopes as Christians in Revelation about how God is making all things new. There will be a new creation, a new heaven, and a new earth. And in that new creation, Lucifer, Satan, has no part. He is not invited. He is a fallen creature who will not be a part of the new creation. So as much as he's opposing all of our creativity and creation and God as creator, his time is short. And in the new heaven and the new earth, he will not have a place. So chaos is not eternal. Only God is. And when I remember that, it gives my heart a peace that is almost chaos. And that's what we want to be. We want to be chaos-free in a world of chaos. And one way I talk about in the book is, you know, the first thing we said at the beginning of the podcast, understand what's really going on. The second thing is, we don't have to let chaos in. There's chaos around us, but we don't have to let chaos within us. And so when we start understanding and operating and having light in what's really going on, all of a sudden we can be in a storm and we don't become more crazy, chaotic, wound up, spun up. We actually can stay calm like Jesus did in the storm. And we can actually tell the storm, no more, stop. And we, in our domain, in other words, in our realm of influence, in our realm of authority, we have God saying, you can change things for good. Big part of the message of the book, and I think if listeners will start to go, wow, and now I see differently what's going on, and I am going to be hopeful in the midst of chaos, and I'm not going to let it in. And more than that, I'm going to now start changing the things in my realm of authority, in my home, through my art, in my church, in my community, for good. And that's the light and the beauty and the order that we get invited by God to be partners in, co-creators in, ushering beauty and life and order in the place of chaos and disorder. It's an amazing thing, and it changes how we see chaos and how we see ourselves and how we see God.
And we are literally at the top of the hour, and so we have got to get ready to end the show today. And Alan, it went so quickly, and I'm really surprised how quick it went, because I've been just enjoying all the information with us. And for our listeners out there, this is only the tip of the iceberg of this book. Toward the beginning of the book, there is a small worksheet in the paperback that you can copy and look at, because if you're like me, you may say, I have many things and there aren't enough lines on this page to write what I am feeling chaos in. And you can write what you're feeling chaos in, but by the time you finish this book, there's actually a calm that comes over you, because you've been made aware of what's going on all around you. And that chaos is trying to stop you from your creativity, whatever your gifting is. It's another thing that Alan talks about in the book about giftings and other things as well. Again, then he goes deeper into it toward the end of the book. He goes deeper into the master circle. And you may want to know, what's the master circle? Well, get your copy of Chaos Can't Overcome What Comes Against You in This Shaken World. You'll find out what the master circle is, because it is a journey that you're going on in this book. And it reads like a journey, kind of like the term, I think, is called monomyth. And monomyth is the arc of a character in a story, most notably Star Wars personifies this monomyth and this arc that this character goes on. In Chaos Can't, you are the character going through this monomyth, but so much more deeper. And so I encourage you really to get a copy of Chaos Can't available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. And it's funny because once you and to understand what's happening, any fear that you have seeps away. And when it seeps away, all of a sudden you're not as upset, you're not as angry, you're not as frazzled, and you start to really exhibit the fruit of the Spirit that is mentioned in Galatians. So there's a lot in here, Alan, and we just didn't have time to go over it, but I'm encouraging everyone to go ahead and pick up their copy of Chaos Can't. Now, Alan, I would love to pray for us as we begin to end our show. Go ahead, before you do that, though, go ahead and tell us where we can connect with Wild at Heart, which is part of the organization you're with, and follow you on Twitter, because you often have wonderful inspirational quotes and sayings on your Twitter, and so many people resonate with that. Go ahead, give us your social media outlets, and then I want you to pray for us as we end our show today. And I'm going to mute myself so you can do that.
Okay. So, yeah, if you'd like to find out more of what we've talked about, of course, the books are on Amazon. But if you want to reach out, my website is withallen.com, withallen.com. You'll find a lot of videos, blog posts there. And also a way to reach out for speaking and coaching services that I offer to the creative community. And then on Twitter, my Twitter is @thestoryofwith. So if you just type in @thestoryofwith, you'll find me there. I try to tweet a couple of thoughts a day on creativity and God and how those things come together, and would love for you to join me in that. And from there, Parker, I'd love to close us in prayer. By the way, the ministry I work at, Wild at Heart, they've got so many great resources for how to walk with God, how to love God and live free is kind of our line that we use to describe what we do. And you can find out more about that at wildatheart.org. And we have podcasts every week that I help produce and that I'm in many of them. And we have other resources that I would love for you to find and discover. So check that out too. I'm going to pray for us now. Father, I lift up every person hearing my voice right now, and I pray that they would find your peace and your hope and your love stronger than the chaos around them. The enemy can throw all kind of chaos at us, but we don't have to let it in. God, you say in the scripture, we read that Jesus says, I have overcome the world. In this world, there will be trouble or chaos, but I have overcome the world. So take heart. And that's what we're praying right now. We're praying that you would help us take heart in the midst of this shaken world, this overwhelming season that life seems to find us in right now, in this particular moment in time, and that we would say we can be unshaken in the midst of the chaos as your sons and as your daughters. God, as your sons and daughters, we can be unshaken. We don't have to let the chaos in. And we can actually step into the creativity that you've given us and bring beauty and life and order to this shaken world. God, we say yes to that. We pray for your presence in a very tangible way, God. We pray for greater intimacy with you. We pray for a heart that's fully awakened to who you have made us be. We love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Alan, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for being with me on this show today. Thank you for allowing me to showcase Chaos Can't on The Right Stuff. And I cannot wait to have you back and have you back real soon.
Thank you, Parker. It's been another great conversation. I love what you're doing. And, you know, you are an example of the creativity we're talking about. This show, your ministry, your gifting, like it shines through in this. And so I just wanted to say, I love what you're doing, and I love how you are bringing beauty and life and order to this world through this show right here. So well done.
Thank you so much, Alan. I really appreciate that. And we were talking today to Alan Arnold. He is the author of the book, Chaos Can't Overcome What Comes Against You in This Shaken World. As always, this show is used to encourage the author whom God has given the gift to write. Pick up the pen and do so. I read a quick, very quick excerpt that I really think embodies what I mean when I say that. And this is in the book Chaos Can't by Alan Arnold. So ask yourself what you were born to bring into this world. Then decide how much you're willing to sacrifice in order to make it a reality. It will likely require discomfort and opposition. But if you are seeking to create something with an eternal spark, there is no other option. Giving birth to a new idea, especially one that counters the chaos in this world, is beautiful, messy, and costly. The goal is creation, not comfort. So to my aspiring author out there, the pen and write stuff. Thank you so much for joining me for this edition of The Write Stuff. I'm the Queen of Tuesday Nights, Parker J. You have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day.